this week on Video Death Loop. Plus, so that's why they took that mirror to the moon. Hey everybody, welcome to Video Death Loop, the podcast where we watch a short video clip on loop until we just can't take it anymore. I am your host this week, Aaron Littleton. With me is your co-host, Mr. John. It's Mr. John.
Mr. John. It's, that's it.
Mr. John. It's okay. It's like one of those people. They're not a teacher, but somehow they are involved in like a school somehow. You know, if you were like a counselor, maybe. Yeah, so it's something like that. A tertiary person at a school. And, you know, like, because teachers are always like Mr. or Ms. whoever.
Yeah.
But that's last name, right?
Yeah,
you'd be Mr. Hurst if you were the kid's algebra teacher,
and I'll be honest, that doesn't sound like a good teacher name. Like it's
the algebra teacher name. It definitely is. Like there's no way if you went to teach kids, there's no way that you wouldn't be in like a middle school classroom with like an old school blackboard and you're teaching them algebra one.
You're getting
like chalk all over your hands and like patting your sweater vest, and it's leaving like chalk hand pats on your sweater vest while you're getting worked up.
Tell me
about algebra equations.
Tell me about the sweater vest. Is it like is it patterns? Is it kind of like horizontal, like kind of wavy going on? Is like
I'm
going
to be honest. When I close my eyes and I imagine alternate universe algebra teacher John, the sweater vest, and it came fully formed to me. It wasn't one that I had to see like what this looks like. It's not that exciting. It's I imagine it's sort of like a faded dark green. You know, like not one of those greens that have like a little blue in it, but like truly like a dull but slightly darker green. And then there's like a kind of dark yellow stripe at the neckline, and then there's one at each of the shoulders as well. Like just like a it's just exactly like I don't know, it just fully formed was in my mind when I started talking about you as a teacher. Now the rest of your outfit, I can't say, you know, there's probably like corduroys underneath that if I had my guess. There's not like on your shirt, like corduroy pants. A button-up shirt, you know, underneath the sweater vest, probably one that is kind of a, you know, like one of those crossed pattern, like a plaid.
That's a math ass t-shirt.
I know, right? Like is it a t-shirt? It's the t-shirt button up.
Yeah, it's one like, you know, it's a Friday at this class for me. It's casual Friday. I'm trying to relate to the kids with my graph shirt at this point.
Okay. I was trying to like fill out the outfit, and I'm pretty confident that you're wearing a stretchy banded gold digital watch. You know, man.
I'm like a
Casio, like a gold Casio.
Oh, I'm at digital golden watch stage.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think you. I think this alternate universe John was born in a golden digital Casio watch stage. And it's not like real gold, right? It's like the fake Casio gold stretchy watch band.
It shines. It shines like real gold.
But it's digital. I think that's the important thing. There's no analog clock there. It's digital.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This. I'm seeing the picture. I'm seeing the vision. That is definitely. He is definitely not certified hot on RateMyProfessor.com.
Maybe it's like it's hot algebra information. I'm just saying that, like, if you were Mr. Hurst and you were an algebra teacher, like, and I'm sure there's a universe where you're the hot teacher. I'm sure there's that universe.
Anything's possible.
But I think the universe closest to ours in the multiverse, the first sort of time we would run into you, like, moving away from, like, some kind of normalcy, it would be that guy. That would be the first one we run into. That's your closest counterpart as a teacher in a But again, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Mr. John.
Mr. Yeah, with a lot of O's. A lot of O's in his name.
Like, yes. Well, yeah, you could do that. You know, it's like it could be a janitor. You know, because the janitor feels like it's a Mr. first name.
You know, I was about to protest on that, but it feels like a Mr. John like that is going to give advice on there. And you know, sometimes the janitor at your little school, especially in like those teen dramas, they give the best advice, you know?
They do. But or it could be the counselor. But not like, I feel like there's the school counselor that is like, okay, he's going to help you pick out your class schedule and he's going to help you apply for scholarships and stuff. Not that counselor, but the counselor that's like the counselor that maybe runs like the theater club, something, you know, it's like the other counselor that just, they're like, why is this adult involved in the school?
The cool uncle counselor.
Yes. Cool uncle. Yes. Mr. John, you're always happy to see Mr. John. And I think that maybe if we have to start like jumping universes in the multiverse of possibilities, I think that might be the first time we bump into you in a school setting. Like as far as like some, even before Mr. Hurst, the algebra teacher with the sweater vest and the chalk all over it. I think we bump into Mr. John, the part-time counselor / theater director.
Okay. What about you? What do you like? If you had to be alternate host universe, Aaron Littleton,
yep.
in a school setting,
right?
Where would you be at on this? Like, cause
vice principal.
I can see it actually.
There's a lot of responsibility there. There's a lot of yelling at children.
Aaron, real question. What does a vice principal actually do?
Like, the only interactions I had with vice principals were incredibly negative. It was always when I got in trouble, but like not enough to like go to the principal for some real shit. It's like, this is all going to get handled in-house. Right. Like it's not going to reach the parents. It's just going to be between you and the principal or the vice principal. That is
right.
And he's going
to
scare the shit out of you and maybe give you like in school detention, like nothing you got to tell your parents.
Right. Like just on the cusp of having treachery happen. But
yes, yes. I recently talked about the times I got detention when I was in school for various like honestly hilarious pranks. But I was telling my parents about them and they were really distressed that I had gotten detention because they did not know that I had gotten detention. I guess I just failed to tell them and nothing came home from the school. So like I said, I just kind of handled it and we moved on. We swept that under the rug. We don't need to talk about this. These times I got detention.
Yeah, and it wasn't like an after-school detention. That never happened. It was always like an in-school detention. You were just elsewhere while actual learning was happening. You were restricted in your learning.
Well, one time it was like an after-school, like breakfast club after-school situation.
Okay.
But I just didn't. My parents maybe just weren't keeping the best track of me. That like I just came home a little later than normal, and they just assumed I was into, I don't know, teen shit.
Yeah, you know, like you know, like serving the local soup kitchen or something. I was like,
yeah, no. No, like for me, they would be okay. Is everything? Oh, there's no cops in the yard. That's fine. I mean, he's here. He's, you know, in one piece. This is fine.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Speaking of things that are fine, I have a video we have to watch.
Ooh, okay.
We watched them. We're gonna watch this video as is our want on loop. It's gonna be on loop, just over and over again. I know what it is. John does not know what it is.
That's true.
And one of the cool things about it is we're gonna watch it until we just can't take it anymore. That's gonna be fun. So we're gonna get this video started. And 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, let's see what you have for me here. Oh, wait, hold on. I actually know this. This is I Dream of Genie, isn't it?
This is the opening theme song to I Dream of Genie.
I knew it because this is okay, so I remember this being like the thing on Nick at Night where it's like, oh, cartoons are over at this point. Oh, it's not time for the black and white shows. Time to go in. But this motherfucking show here, the I Dream of Genie, had like, and Bewitched also, had these animated openings that kind of trick you for a second.
A little bit, right? It's animated. It's colorful. Maybe this is an old cartoon that you don't know about. You know, maybe it's like a Yogi Bear, you know, kind of era cartoon.
This is short.
yeah, they needed to get you to genie time pretty quick.
Oh yeah, they time for comedy.
So the point of I Dream of Genie, if you are, I don't know, younger than 45 and did not watch this on Nick at Night, John said it right there, is that there was a spaceman, and not like a alien. He was like, literally his job was fucking astronaut, which is so wild. Like,
we were all into that. This is like late 60s,
we
right?
We loved astronauts. Yeah, no, it was like the 60s for sure. Yeah. And we loved astronauts. But I just can't think of very many shows besides I Dream of Genie that went all in on having an astronaut main character. I mean, unless it was about space, but the show's not about space. The show is about like a guy like living his normal life. And sometimes he does astronaut stuff, but it's definitely not the thrust of the show. It's like,
right.
It's such restraint. Now, admittedly, I kind of don't remember a lot about I Dream of Genie.
Yeah, I remember the genie, and she her nose wiggles and wishes happen.
No,
and
no, fuck you, no.
What? What do you mean?
Her nose does not wiggle. That's Bewitched, and we're getting there.
Oh, wait, have I been mixing up Bewitched and I Dream of Genie?
It's fine. It's the same fucking show.
It's the same
goddamn show. And I don't know how they got away with it. Was it just two different? Was it two different episodes? Like two different, I don't know, like networks that were like, we need a magic lady show? Because, okay, surprise, we did not get to this yet, but the astronaut man finds a magic lamp and inside is a hot lady that like immediately falls in love with him, like Yurisi Yatsura style, like Lum. Like, it, honestly, this show might be a precursor to Lum in some weird way.
Oh, like Lum the Invader on that. Like, there, this is basically like a setup that like Japan was like, hell yeah, that can make like 10 anime from.
But like, it's a magic pretty lady. She falls in love, I think, with our astronaut man, and moves in with him or something. But she also lives in her bottle. But yeah, she makes magic happen. Like, she can grant wishes, and not like three wishes. She's fucking magicking things up all the time.
Yeah, just loaded with magic.
There is also, I do remember, there was some level of controversy at the time about this because she does have a belly shirt. The genie dresses in a belly shirt, but she it was indecent to show a belly button. So she wears really high pants. So you are not distracted by her belly button.
Yeah.
Prime time.
It's a brave at this point, because they just like, hey, you know what? We need a belly dancer. We need a belly dancer genie doing all the things that we know that genies do, like, and especially for hot genies at this point.
And that was like, definitely part of the show, is she was supposed to be like this hot. Mm. I'm seeming to remember this, right? Like, she was almost like causing him pain because she was constantly after him and he was like dedicated to space.
Yeah, it's like, God, I love space, but also this genie has the hots for me.
I gotta get back up to space, see what's up there.
There's no genies in space.
If only, if I could see this genie's belly button, it would be over. I would never get back to the cruel mistress of space again.
The erogenous Jones would be immense.
Okay, so we do have to like, we brought it up. I cursed at John for mentioning it, or for confusing it, but there was another show at the same time as this, right? That was called Bewitched, which was like a dude, and I think he was in the fucking army or so, like pretty close stuff, to being an astronaut, but he was married to a witch. And she's the one that would like wiggle her nose and make magic happen. But it was the same fucking thing. It was like an official man in a uniform married to a magic lady, or with a magic lady as a co-star. And in one, they were kind of a happy couple and they just had to keep their Bewitched was like cozy in a way, right? Because they were in love and they were just married and she would just make magic and they just kind of had to keep it under wraps. She was like, yeah, a magic lady.
Couldn't reveal the magic genie stuff and the wishes and the belly button. That would just end everything. That would end the show. That's,
I'm talking about Bewitched. See, we cannot keep these things under control.
No. But yeah, like, Bewitched was like, she wore like the whole witch outfit and stuff.
Sometimes she did.
She have a talking cat did. Or was that like another show?
That's Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, did she have a talking cat? I don't know. There might have been a talking cat in Bewitched. Don't make me answer that.
We're going to be looking at fandom wikis after this episode for 50 minutes to looking at talkingcat.fandom.wiki or whatever.
Not a talking cat at all. So that was these two shows. They were on for a while, I guess. And yeah. I don't know. I guess if you were dedicated to space and you found like a hot genie, like, would you sort of deal with that? Or would you be like, hot genie, you need to go to some like bohemian man that will appreciate you?
I think I would, like any good relationship, you'd find that medium boundary in there where you find like the interest in there on there, but also make sure that it's like, if it's like, you got to get into my world a little bit. You got to go up to space with me. You have a bottle in here. You can just, like, I'm allowed to take at least one or two personal belongings up with me to space. That's NASA law.
You take the genie to space with you.
Take the genie to space. You know what? Important. You know, like, I demi god, demi, like, spiritual, whatever you call. I don't even know what you actually call a genie in this case, but a somewhat human entity that is not a human in space. The first genie in space, and I bet you could do all sorts of like vacuum experiments or something. It's like time. It's like, you know, you don't need a suit when you're a genie in space. Maybe just put out the bottle. I don't know. Who knows?
Here is the thing. I don't think I would take the genie to space. I just don't think that's... But, okay. And I get what you're saying. Like, yes, there is... I think you could... like you said, you get your NASA legally required, like, personal belonging that you must take with you whether you want to or not.
Yeah, check the bag.
I feel like you get up there and you let Genie out, and I just think she's too chaotic of a presence in space. Right, like, especially 60s. I mean, not that we're any better at space now. That we're probably way worse at space now than we were back in the 60s. Let's be real fucking honest. But like back then, you know, you had like ground control, and they're watching everything, and there's a lot of like, okay, copy that. We're going to burn for 15 seconds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you do that, and it's just, it's nice and predictable, and your little tin can doesn't get exposed to the vacuum between the stars and suck you out of it. It's a gray shapeless mass. But it's because everyone up there is like a real sober, practical kind of person. And then you take a bottle up there and you open it up, and this like half naked, wild ass genie that wants to get in your pants is suddenly like squished in this little space capsule with you. And she's like making fucking parakeets appear and shit. Like, it's just, it's too much. It's too much in space.
Be horrifying. It's like, okay, we're gonna let the genie loose in space. Can genies breathe in space, for one, on there? Number two, can they summon parakeets to also try to breathe in space? Horrifying experiment number three. Let's go.
The genie's gonna be fine. Okay, the genie is
genie
pop
will be
out,
fine.
And she's like, oh no, you don't have your favorite steak knife. And she's gonna like make 100 steak knives appear, and they're gonna like poke through the incredibly thin skin of your capsule, and then you're gonna just become a red mist outside, because as you have a massive decompression, and she's just gonna disappear and go back to Earth and be like, well, that didn't work out, time to find another hunky spaceman to
how was she getting back to Earth?
Fucking magics herself back, dude. Why wouldn't she?
We don't know. She would be the first genie in space. We don't know how genies work in space.
We don't know that. We have no scientific proof that's the first genie in space. You are making a lot of assumptions, my friend.
I am, but I'm also assuming that I'm doing the thing where it's like they are mostly human in this case. Like, they are a demi-human of some sort. So, like, it being stuck, like, at the worst that happens, they get stuck in the bottle. She doesn't have the ability to move the bottle around. I don't remember. I think she gets comically trapped in the bottle in various situations, I remember, in the show.
Okay. The author's poorly disguised fetish, I'm certain.
Yes.
But if she's away from let's go back to the steak knife in space scenario. Okay. Hunky astronaut. Hunky astronaut man has been like ejected out into space. He's dead. He's no longer a thing. He's not coming back. Okay. No one's controlling the space capsule. It's gonna tumble in an erratic orbit until it burns up on entry and smashes into Cleveland. Okay.
Okay.
So he's dead. She's alone up in space. This sucks. I just remembered how she did magic. Is she would like cross her arms in front of her body, and then she would nod, and it would go like, boing, boing, boing.
Oh yeah, yeah. It would do like the beam.
It would definitely make a boner sound every time she did magic.
Yeah, part of the fetish for sure.
Hilarious, hilarious boner sound every time. Yeah. And she would just boing herself like just back to New York or whatever. Like she's not staying in space. And then if the bottle like gets burned up, great. She's free. I've seen Aladdin. I know what genies want. They want to be rid of that goddamn bottle. Hmm. And like if they can survive reentry, okay, then maybe that is a problem. But I think she's probably happier if the bottle is out in space.
So she's stuck out in space in there, like trying
She's not stuck in space.
No. I'm making the scenario here. Like, she's in space currently. She nods her head. She appears in New York City. The spaceship crashes in Cleveland. Part of Cleveland is devastated. Yeah. The bottle may or may not have been found in the wreckage alongside a black box with the guy yelling about steak knives. Yes. No, stop making steak knives. Please, God, genie, no. No.
Only so many steak knives can appear in this in this tiny capsule.
And she's just like on the street near she's at Times Square looking at in cheek sunglasses.
Yeah, awesome for her. It's awesome for her. End of I Dream of Genie. Unless she just finds again, gets obsessed with another hunky man next episode until her magic inevitably kills him. At which point you're like, maybe this is telling us something.
Oh, this is maybe, it's like a curse.
Maybe these hunky mans are really not what she's after.
Like when she's trapped in the bottle, like her, like they show her eyes, like they represent that she's in the bottle and like kind of blinking. And so like, it's like, oh, is she aware of what's outside of the bottle during those times? Can she see?
I seem to remember there was like a palatial 1960s idea of like what a sultan's kind of, I don't know, harem room might look like in there, you know, like lots of tasseled pillows and stuff and velvet curtains and the like. So I don't know that she necessarily
like a TARDIS,
but maybe she can. I bet she does. I mean, if it's in the cartoon, it's not like they're not going to have some representation of that in the show, right? Or is it just to tell you like she's in there? All right, this didn't kill her.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be closer to like she's in there. She's trapped in the bottle. Once again, do not let her out. A very steak knives will go everywhere. Do not take her to space.
It's a big sticker warning. Steak knives.
It's like, you know, the state of California recommends you not unleash the genie for in case steak knives come to life in your space capsule.
So, I mean, that is okay. That's ended up with our major hunk. He's dead. Major astronaut hunk. He's dead now.
R.I.P. But
that's because that's a real like literal reading of how to get her involved with your life, right? Like, is there like a midway point that's more, you know, sort of theoretical than just like major astronaut going in her bottle or her going in his spacecraft, right? Like, what's the midway point between those two, right? Do they become like submarine friends? Is there something that's more like an emotional level of it, like, so what is that midway? One's up in space. He's flying around in space. He's in his own little tin can, just like she's in the bottle down on Earth, right? They both yearn for freedom from the space.
From the norm.
Bottle.
From the
norm, yeah.
From the boring, for the mundane at that.
They're both such eccentric characters. Go ahead. I feel like you were about to say something awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think, they're eccentric characters in their own way. Like, they go to these liable extremes. I don't think they go submarining on there. I think that's too extreme. That's too opposite for both of them on there. I think what they just go into is what they really need to bring this relationship to the next level, to make it work between these two. You just have to go. Gotta have that normal nuclear family lifestyle of the '60s that they definitely wanted you to have on here. We'll have that board game night with some Twister. Have some people over. Enjoy a cheese tray.
Okay,
gotta have the boring nights. Maybe they go read a book 30 minutes before going to bed and just kind of like, oh, I'm reading a very interesting book. And they like kind of listen halfway on that. And then they go to bed and, you know, they both have to work the next day.
So they just become the Brady Bunch. They just have like, they just magic up a bunch of kids like boing.
Definitely boing a little bit, but but yeah, like you don't even have to magic up kids. It's just like do whatever like a strapping young couple would do in the '60s. Maybe go to a poetry slam.
Have a bunch of children, right? Like that's just what they did back then. They just you got to have your 2.4 kids and get on with it.
Yeah,
If only that belly button had come out earlier, we could have avoided all the dead spacemans. before they got to that point.
Is it a like a routine problem? Because he's got like surely like he's a spaceman. He's got other spaceman friends at the Space Enterprise.
He does. Yes. No. He definitely has astronaut friends. If my recollection of the show is do they see Jeannie? Yeah, she's
Have they seen her belly button?
That's a good question.
She's seen other bellies.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're not married yet. She's just sort of obsessed with him. So that's my recollection. Is they are not that nuclear family.
No, not yet.
Jeannie's got to keep her fucking options open, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, like,
what if this dork doesn't work out?
If this is this. Fucker doesn't appreciate my steak knives, I'm going to take them elsewhere. It's not even like you get three wish situation, because you, like you said earlier, she can make as many wishes happen to her whims at that. Hey, don't make things appear in my room. Come on. And you know, the goes boinged away, but there's no line. Like maybe she's got to go go hopping on the town a little bit with the other spacemen. Try to check that out. Maybe there's a better fit there. I don't know.
Yeah, don't follow the first spaceman you meet.
Yeah. You don't know where that spaceman's been. He's been in space for one, but otherwise.
Exactly. This was back when they thought maybe space had germs in it.
Yeah, gross germs.
Real gross germs. Space germs. Space viruses.
Yeah, could have had anything up there. Could be snorting up moon dust.
Okay, if the moon was the source of cocaine, like you just flew the moon and the moon was full of fucking cocaine, like it was just all that dust, just fucking cocaine, a big rock of cocaine. I don't know. Maybe Jeannie does need to get to the moon.
Maybe
that's why. Maybe she's real, real cokehead. Jeannie.
Why do you think she's nodding her head all the time, you know?
Exactly. I mean, they don't really draw the nose in this cartoon very much. It's almost like it's trying to make you not think about what could be going into that nose.
She needs that moon dust, man. The only way she can get it is through the spaceman. The spaceman, like maybe something preventing her from going, like she can get back from space when she like, she doesn't know how to quite get into space at that point. She needs the moon man and the magic space vehicle to go up there with them as a personal item. Go over there, collect the moon dust as samples. Samples.
Samples.
And then bring them home for everyone.
Boy, I own it.
Start a cocaine war in South America.
I think there were lots of wars in South America. America was starting at the time. I don't know that Jeannie necessarily had to be involved in that.
She's involved with the government in this opening here.
I guess you're right. She's
could have been involved very easily.
Oh God, I have got a tap. I cannot. I know that's not like a joke to end on, but I just really cannot watch this theme song anymore.
You can't, like, with the little jaunty theme going on with her dancing.
It's a great theme, though. It's a great theme. There's no getting around. That theme's a banger. We both recognized it immediately. Hard to forget. Hard to forget. I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah. A lot of the shows that in the 90s and 2000s, they had, like, movie versions. I don't think, did I Dream of Jeannie have one of those? Because Bewitched definitely did.
Bewitched did. Bewitched also had a Irish girl band.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That we have watched on this show as well.
True.
No, I don't think I Dream of Jeannie ever really got remade. I don't remember it getting remade like Bewitched.
It feels like if I don't know which one came first on that. I'm assuming Bewitched did in this case, but
I remember Bewitched being black and white, and I don't remember I Dream of Jeannie. Black and white, although it wouldn't surprise me if it was.
You know, might be on that edge, like between black and white and color in that time period, too.
Yes. Yes, it might have. It might have. What do you think? Would you rather be married to a witch or a genie?
Both would cause problems, but me, you know, like maybe, like, I don't know, the witch, which might be, which, like, witch gets to wear those cool hats.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like those hats.
Build a good stew. You don't ask where it came from, but you know, it might be pretty good. Might ail do what ails you on that.
Yeah, I think a witch is definitely like if you need a life partner, witch. Genie just seems too erratic.
Genie's like,
I definitely know people that would need to cast themselves upon those rocky shores of the erratic genie. I know people that would be completely unable to resist that, even knowing it was going to end in disaster.
Right. But
I'm more of a witch guy. I'm definitely more of a witch guy.
Yeah, it's like you need to, I guess maybe some people need to experience the genie to realize what they really need is a witch. And like, you know, like life lessons learned on that, which continues the lesson here that I don't think you bring either to space, honestly, but
No. There's no, I cannot have magic in space. I need nothing but cold science. I need that algebra that Mr. Hurst taught me.
Yeah.
I need math.
Your personal item is his corduroy sweater that he loved, like that's caked with the chalk dust, which unfortunately you pat and goes like go all the chalk dust goes into the space components.
Yeah. Luckily though, it is Mr. Hurst's haunted sweater, so his ghost can appear and help you.
Oh yeah, no ghost can
not
go to space.
Entire,
that's your problem.
Yeah, ghost. Yeah, obviously you want a ghost in space. A ghost is great because a ghost is as long as it wasn't one of those ghosts that messes with electronics.
Yes.
If it was like a ghost that messes with electronics, I'm sorry, ghost. You're saying on Earth, the electronics are the only thing keeping me alive in space. But if it was just a ghost that like could kind of, you know, clip through things, just phase around and give you, you know, helpful algebra information, that'd be a great ghost to have in space.
Which is pretty handy, honestly. Yeah. You could like
take that space ghost coast to coast.
You really could. And also ghosts don't take up your oxygen, so you know, like that's one less worry in space too.
Yes, it's prime choice. Prime choice.
Yeah.
Premium you know, creature of the dark to take in space ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, highly
folks,
recommended.
Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Come back next time. John Hurst will be your host. We'll watch something else on loop. I won't know what it is, and that'll be exciting. And you can send us an email, questions@videodeathloop.com. You can send us suggestions. We have some suggestions in the hopper. Thank you for those. And follow us on social media. I guess Blue Sky is kind of where we are these days. There may be other vestigial Video Death Loop social medias. I'm not going to, you know, discourage you from following them, but Blue Sky's the most active, which is not saying much. I can't do a call to action, can I? Like, I don't believe in any of this. Stop it.
Aaron, I can't wait for your call to act. We're just going to have to find a new social media service to just like say we're on Video Death Loop, but we just don't make an account. So people have to keep finding us on these random. So like we're back on MySpace.
Fiverr. Follow us Fiverr. On Fiverr.
You know, give us $5.
Give us $5. We will provide nothing for you.
Our Patreon is so good.
We'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
Bye.